Our Bibles, and let's open them up to Luke chapter 11. So I should be able to get through this hour. I got my water, got my cough drop, got my tea to help my throat. So Luke chapter 11. So over the next several weeks, I did mention that for the beginning of this year, or for this new year, we are going to study the book of Revelation in Sunday school. But before we get to the book of Revelation, I did want to touch on the topic of prayer. Like I said, for the next several weeks, we will go over prayer, because prayer is a lot more than just talking to God or just telling God what we want or asking God to do something. Prayer is our way of getting to get to know God more, to see more of God's power in our life, to have a stronger relationship with the Lord. It is our way of communicating with Him, and He communicates to us through His Word and through His Spirit. And I want to, over the next several weeks, talk about how to develop a powerful prayer life, because as a child of God, as a born-again Christian, we should have a prayer life that is powerful, a prayer life that is intimate, a prayer life that is genuine, a prayer life that is something that we know we cannot live without. A lot of Christians are suffering in their faith because of a lack of a prayer life. And this morning, you may already have a very strong prayer life, so my desire is that you will learn some new things through this study. Maybe your prayer life is not what it should be. Maybe it's just something that's hit and miss, something that I know I'm supposed to do it, but there's not maybe a lot of value in it. Wherever you are in your prayer life, my hope and prayer through this study is that we would grow even stronger in our prayer life, and we would have a deeper desire to get to know God more and to see our prayers being answered and seeing God move in a more powerful way in our life, and to see even more prayers being answered. Because again, we know, I guarantee you, there's not a single Christian that does not know you're supposed to pray. There's not a single Christian that does not know that that's your way of talking to God. But like I said, many times we're missing out on greater things because our prayer life is not what it should be. And what I mean by that is, the Bible does say that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, it may not necessarily mean I am trapped in pornography or drugs, alcohol, but if I have resentment in my heart towards somebody, if I am mad at somebody, if I have unforgiveness, if I'm not doing what God's asked me to do, that is sin. You know, if it's not of faith, it's sin. I mean, God wants us to live by faith. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. So, I mean, sin is not just the grotesque sin that we think about. Sin is not just somebody murdering somebody else, all right? But sin is anything in our life that is contrary to God. It's contrary to God, it's contrary to His Word, and though we pray, our prayers are not being heard, they're not being answered. So how do we develop a powerful prayer life? And again, we should. Again, when you go through Scripture, you can look at Peter, you can look at Paul. Through the ages, you can look at different men and women who have had great faith in prayer. They were what we would consider prayer warriors, that when they prayed, man, their prayers got answered. It is a known fact that if you're familiar with Charles Spurgeon, if you're familiar with Charles Spurgeon, he testifies of the fact that in several occasions he was missing some of his church members. And he was getting very concerned because they would get up at the beginning of the service and walk out. A couple of men, a couple of women, they would get up and they would walk out. And he was kind of puzzled. They would show up, but then they would quickly leave. And so one service, you know what? He's going to follow them. So he didn't even start the service. They got up, they walked out, and he followed them because he was going to confront them to find out what was going on. Well, he found them in the basement of the church, knelt down praying. And where they were praying was right under where the pulpit was. Like, we have a basement. So basically they were downstairs. Right where the pulpit would be at is where they were gathered praying for their pastor and praying for the service. And they did this continuously, and it moved him in a very great way. You know, those are people that are given to prayer, that know prayer is very important. Hopefully, I'm sure you do, but hopefully, you know what, before every church service, even maybe when you're getting ready to come to church, you're asking the Lord, speak to me. I want to hear from you. I don't want to just go through a church service, because the last thing we want prayer to be is just a habit. I mean, we have bad habits that we need to break, and prayer does not need to be a habit. It needs to be a way of life. And all of us, including myself, have room to grow in this area, and we do need to have a strong heart's desire for what Christ had a strong heart's desire for. In Luke chapter 11, I don't think it's verse number 1. Yeah, Luke chapter 11, when you look at verse number 1, it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, pardon me, I will get through this. All right, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus' disciples, watching Jesus pray, because it says, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And obviously they had seen the same type of prayer life from John the Baptist. And they're saying, you know, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. So they saw something different in John, and they saw something different, no doubt, in Jesus than what they saw in the Pharisees. Because remember, Jesus gives the account of the Pharisee and a sinner in the temple praying. And the Bible records that Jesus said the Pharisee was standing praying with himself, thanking the Lord for how good he was, thanking the Lord that he was able to tithe and all these things. And then in his own prayer says, thank you, Lord, I'm not like this sinner. And Jesus then turns his attention when he's telling the story to his disciples and says the sinner, without lifting up his eyes, just smote his chest and said, Father, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. And Jesus asked, he asked those listening, who went away justified? The public, or the Pharisee, or the publican, the sinner? And obviously they all answered, well, the sinner went away justified. Because, and that's the way prayer is, it's, you know, you're coming before a holy God. You know that, you know what, without Jesus Christ, we can't be accepted before God. But because of Jesus Christ, we have that boldness to be able to come before the throne of grace, to ask for grace, to ask for help in time of need. But again, the disciples here ask Jesus, teach us to pray. They see something in the prayer of Jesus. And just even as I think about it, remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he leaves his disciples, he leaves some, he goes a little further, he leaves Peter, James, and John by themselves, he goes a little further, and the Bible says that he drops to his knees and he prays in great agony because he is about to face something he's never faced before. Think about this, the creator of the universe, the giver of life, is about to face and experience death. Think about this, the one who never had a beginning, The one who did, the one who never has experienced death, yet he allows himself at that moment, before then, he allows himself to experience death. But when he's praying, even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." How many times have we prayed and asked God to change something we were facing, right? You know, whether it's a sickness, whether it's something with a job, I mean, whatever. I mean, there's been times in our life where we've asked God, "God, can you change it? Can you take this away?" Jesus did. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And the cup he's talking about is that cup of suffering that he is about to endure for all of mankind. But yet in the same breath, he says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." I mean, that is prayer. Prayer is coming to God, knowing that God will hear you, knowing that God will answer you, knowing that God's will be done, but his will may be that we go through whatever we're praying that he helps us to go through. So again, how do we develop a powerful prayer life? And when we develop this prayer life, when we have a right prayer life with God, it will bring holiness into our life. It will bring a closer relationship with God, because you cannot get closer to a holy God without being affected yourself, without your life changing, without things in your life being removed and things being added, because we're getting closer to a holy God. Prayer is the heart and soul of every successful relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship with God and exclude prayer. It just doesn't work. You cannot have it. No one can say, "I am a child of God," and not have a relationship with God through prayer. It just does not work. Life will be just as bad, if not worse, as a lost person, because we know what's right, and yet we refuse to do the one thing that draws us closer to God, or we do it, but we just do it because we know we're supposed to do it. And we're not really being affected. We're not being changed. And our heart's desire should be, "I want to be changed. Not only do I want to see God answering my prayers, but I want my own self to be changed. I want to see more of God working in my life. And I want to hear the voice of God a lot clearer than what I hear right now." Prayer is absolutely crucial to every area of a believer's life. It is absolutely crucial to every area of a believer's life. There are so many decisions that we have to make in life that we cannot make them without God and expect success. We cannot, and again, we'll get to it in a minute, but reading our Bible and prayer go hand in hand. And just as God told Joshua, you know, the only way he was going to have success is if he allowed himself to willingly follow the word of God. And also it took prayer as well. But I want you to think about these questions that maybe sometimes somebody may have. Because again, prayer is absolutely crucial to every area of a believer's life. All right, so think about this. How did you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? It sure wasn't like I was told by one woman. I was sitting on my deck and a gush of wind came by, and I just knew. I knew it was the Spirit of God, and just knew I was saved. I mean, honestly, as a pastor, and I was told this by a church member years ago, and I had to refrain from laughing, because she was dead serious. And it's like, you don't get saved by a gush of wind. So many people, so many Christians are looking for some type of experience. Now, in the Bible, was there a rush of a mighty wind that came into a room and with God's people? Absolutely. Acts chapter 2, right? They were in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Father. And as they're waiting and praying and ministering to people, I mean, a rush of a mighty wind, the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, all right? But to get saved, we prayed, right? We pray. We ask the Holy Spirit. We ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. We confess our sins to the Lord. How do you abide in Christ and allow him to live his life through you? How do you grow as a Christian? How do you overcome temptation and weakness? How do you resist Satan and wage an effective spiritual warfare? How do you confess your sins? How are you filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you obtain guidance and wisdom from God? How do you experience the power to serve God effectively? And the answer to every single one of those questions is through prayer. And it's the number one thing, I'll say, well, they're almost even. I mean, there are a lot of Christians that neglect the Word of God, and there's a lot of Christians that neglect prayer. Some will read their Bible, and they neglect to pray. Some will pray, and they neglect to read the Bible. Again, I mean, prayer is the answer to every one of those questions. Why don't you look at, open your Bible, go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 7. Let's look at the words of Christ. John chapter 15 and verse 7. I'm saying we are missing out on so much if we don't have an effective, powerful prayer life. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. There's another place where Jesus says, knock, it'll be open. My mind just went blank. So knock, it shall be open. Ask, thee can knock. All right, ask, thee can knock. Somebody help me out. Where is that found? My mind is not on track this morning. I apologize. Say it again. Thank you. So Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Obviously, the Lord is, he's talking about prayer, because there's been many doors I've gone, you can go to and knock on, doesn't mean they're going to be open. So he's spiritually speaking, all right? So again, Jesus says that if we ask, you know, the Lord will answer. And one thing we do have to keep in mind is when we ask in faith and we ask according to God's will, all right, God will answer according to his will, all right? Now, we do love it when the Lord answers our prayers. I don't necessarily like it when it's answered like Paul has his answer when the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient. I know your grace is sufficient, Lord, but I really want a different answer." And yet Paul being a man of prayer understood that, you know what? Yes, I want it different. I want the thorn removed, but I'd rather have the power of Christ upon my life so that I can endure the thorn that's in my life, in my flesh, so that I can see the Lord working in my life and through me. Again, that is what we learn through prayer. That's what we learn through prayer that is effective, prayer that is from the heart, is that, you know what? The desire of my heart is to get closer to God. The desire of my heart is to know God more. Not necessarily just to get my prayers answered, which are a good thing, but I want to get to know God more. I want to be closer to him. I want to hear his voice more clearly. Because I'm glad that we are not stuck in religion. And I hope nobody in here, nobody in the sound of my voice, is stuck in religion, because religion helps nobody. But a relationship with God does. Again, what's religion? I mean, unfortunately, there are a lot of genuine people, dedicated people, sincere people that go and pray to statues, and their prayers are not being heard because a statue can't hear. Many will pray to a loved one who's gone on, thinking that that loved one can help their prayers get up to God, but it doesn't. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the mediator. He's the only one that intercedes. He's the only one that can talk on our behalf. He's the only one that can defend us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody once said, no one's relationship with Christ will ever rise above the level of his or her praying. Again, no one's relationship with Christ will ever rise above the level of his or her praying. And someone may say, as I've heard many people say, at least I'm saved. And I almost have to question, are you? Because honestly, if you're saved, there's going to be something on the inside, the Holy Spirit, that is trying to get you to go to God, to rely upon God, to follow Christ. We cannot simply just say, well, I'm saved. That's good enough. Because then it's almost like that person has the Demas disease. Having loved this present world, they departed from the faith. That's unfortunately, Paul had this, I mean, it's not something he gloated over. I mean, because before he had to say that about Demas, he spoke about Demas in a very high regard. He was someone that was a companion, someone who was a fellow laborer, somebody who was traveling with Paul, helping him in the ministry. I mean, it was a great asset, but then something happened in his life. And I guarantee you, it always starts. When a child of God starts to backslide, their prayer life is the first thing to go. And then Bible reading, and then tithing, and then church attendance. Because if you stop praying, if you stop talking to God, then guess what? You're going to stop hearing his voice. Somebody else is going to come in and start talking, and that's the devil who's the deceiver. And then if you stop reading the Bible, where there goes the truth, there goes conviction. So then you leave off prayer, you leave off reading the Bible. Well, you know, I don't really need to tithe. I know the Bible says it, but, you know, that was back in Malachi. I mean, that was the Old Testament. I mean, you know, God doesn't really expect me to give anything back to him because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And I've heard people come up with all kinds of issues. Well, God doesn't need my money. No, he doesn't. But what God wants to do, though, is bless. But anyway, you know, the person leaves off tithing, which is another way of worshiping and honoring God, giving of ourselves, giving of our first fruits to the Lord, and then they'll leave church because they have no need to be among God's people. And oftentimes they leave because they're convicted in their own hearts because they don't have a relationship with God anymore. And therefore, you know, when they are among God's people, they believe the lie that they're being looked down upon. They believe the lie that everyone else thinks they're better than me, and it's all a lie from the devil. But it all started because we slid away from our relationship with God. Again, prayer is very important. And again, no one's relationship with Christ will ever rise above the level of his or her praying. The same person said, when you learn to walk in powerful daily prayer, God will transform your entire life. And oh, how true that is, and I'm sure probably everybody in here can attest to that, that your life has been transformed. It was transformed the day of your salvation, but over the years of spending time in prayer, you've seen things change in your life. And you have grown, you've grown more in love with God. And you just can't help but to wait to get into prayer, to spend time with God. And aren't you glad that you don't have to wait till you get home from the store or home from work to spend time with God, that just wherever you're out, you can just start talking to the Lord. Even if just in your mind, you're just talking to the Lord or you're talking out loud, you know, you may have someone look at you and go, who are you talking to? Nobody around. Oh yeah, he's around. He's right here. You know, it's just, there's something different about when you have that type of prayer life. I mean, I can you know, I can remember years ago driving home from work. It was late at night. I lived about 25 minutes away from work. Driving home, there's this one stretch. I get off the interstate on, I think it was Lake Point Drive. I forget, I don't know if that was the name of it, but it was Wisconsin Lake anyway. Get off, and it was a straightaway, and I can remember talking to the Lord. It's dark out, and I'll even tell you, to be honest, I was kind of arguing with the Lord about fasting, because this was kind of soon after I'd gotten saved and was starting to learn some things, and I don't know, topic just came up in my mind about fasting, and I can't fast. I can't go without food. I'm thinking about all the stuff I like to eat and drink, I was having a conversation about the Lord about this topic, and why this topic came up, I don't know. But you'll find that in your prayer life, the Lord will bring topics up that you weren't intending on talking about. And I just remember all of a sudden, you know what it's like when you're heavy in thought, and then when you come out of that heaviness in thought, if you've ever been driving, you're like, man, I just missed a whole bunch of stuff I know I should have been passing by. Am I the only one like that? Have you ever, like, been driving and just all of a sudden, how did I get here? Well, that's about like what it was, but when I don't know how you would say it, but, you know, all of a sudden when I realized where I was at, I saw the back end of a doe go in front of the car. And I say I was pretty close, and it was like I didn't even have time to slam on the brakes. But I remember just driving, going, "Thank you, Lord." And it just, you know, it just reminded, you know what, the Lord will protect you. And just again, what I want to say about that is just your prayer life with God has to be more than just "Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this food. Bless me through this day. Amen." It has to be a conversation, because we are talking to somebody who has eyes to hear, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, an arm that's not too heavy, right? Or not too short, it cannot save, right? We're speaking to somebody who's real. Now, I can't see him. One day I will see his glory. One day I will see my Lord and Savior face to face. But again, when you learn to walk in powerful daily prayer, God will transform your entire life. Now, several things. Again, this is all introduction to having a powerful prayer life. Again, over the next several weeks, we'll be talking about different things, all right? Lord willing, as long as the Lord allows us to continue on this topic. But several things that I want us to think about. What can you gain out of an effective prayer life? What can I gain? What can I hope to gain? What can I expect to gain? What can I expect that's going to happen in having an effective prayer life with God? Number one, our relationship with God will become much more real and personal. Our relationship with God will become more real and more personal. I'm convinced today, more Christians do not have a real relationship with God. Young Christians, middle-aged Christians, older Christians. Doesn't matter the physical age, I believe that we're missing out on a real relationship and a personal relationship with God. And it may be because what we were taught growing up, what we learned, maybe because, you know, prayer hasn't really been taught much. Whatever the case may be, we will gain a more real and personal relationship with God the more we spend time in effective prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and then John 17. So Matthew 22. And John 17. This is what we need for 2022. for 2022, God's people, all of God's people, need a more effective, powerful prayer life. Because this world is not turning back. Our country is not going to go back to what it was pre-COVID. This is the new norm. The way our country is, this is the new norm. We're not going back. And unfortunately, it's going to get worse. But listen, we need a more powerful, effective prayer life so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil, so that we can do all that we can do and still stand, as the Bible says, because we're standing in Christ. We're standing in prayer. Again, the devil does not want us to have an effective prayer life. Again, remember, he cannot steal the gift of salvation away from anybody because it's God's gift to someone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But what he can do is convince people to stop praying, and he convinces them by lying to them and trying to get them to believe that God doesn't answer their prayers, or, you know, it's I don't feel warm and fuzzy after praying. I even had someone even say to me, well, you know, when I pray, I just don't feel different. And I even asked, well, what do you expect to feel? Well, I expect to feel, and they said, you know, at peace, I expect to feel, you know, some type of relievement. And I'm like, well, then you're going to prayer with the wrong attitude. Because those things will come. You will feel, if you go to God heavy-hearted, and you go to God with a right heart and a right attitude and a right focus, you will feel that burden lifted. But again, too many people are going to God only to get what they want, and that's it. Remember, when you read through the Gospels, there were many people that followed Christ, not for him, but for what he could do for them. Rather, feeding them, healing them, that's all many of them wanted. So therefore, on the day when he said to the multitudes, except ye drink my blood and eat my flesh, ye cannot be my disciples. Those that were listening to his teachings, those that were following him, and not what he could do for them, those are the ones that didn't walk away, but the ones that were only there to be fed, only to be healed. When he said that in John 6:66, thousands walked away, never walking with him again because they could not take what he said. They were offended at what he said. Many people are offended at what God says because they don't spend time in prayer. They don't spend time with God to know what does God hate and what does God love. Because, you know, the Bible does list some things that God hates. And someone may say, well, I thought God was love. God is love, but he also hates some things. Because the things he hates are the things that destroys lives. But in Matthew 22, look at verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So again, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus tells us, listen, because that's the first commandment, is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Another place it says with all your strength. How can I do that? How can I love God that much? The more time you spend with him. The more time you spend with him, the love grows. The more time I've spent with my wife, and it's mutual, our love has grown. I mean, just in 1 week, less than a week, because it'll be 6 days. Yeah, in 6 days, we will celebrate our 29th wedding anniversary. In April of 2022, we'll celebrate 33 years together as a couple. And I can tell you that my love has grown for her since the first day I saw her in biology class. I saw her across the room. And my heart was smitten. Think about the first day you met Christ. Now, I understand. I understand not every marriages are like that. And sometimes that maybe that's not, you know, the devil would want you to believe that's a poor example because maybe your marriage isn't that good. But you know what? It has to be mutual. And you know what? Your relationship with Christ is mutual. He loves you. You love him. So from the first day that you met Christ until this day, however many years that's been, your love for him should have grown. You should have gotten to know him better. Because you know what? He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me and he still loves me. My wife knows everything about me and she still loves me. She knows I'm a perfect man. I was teasing. No, but I mean, all my flaws, she knows all my flaws, right? But think about Jesus Christ. Again, as we spend time in prayer, we come to realize that, you know what? His love never changes. No matter what mistake I make, no matter what failure I may have in my life, his love for me never changes. And we learn that through prayer. And through prayer, through our relationship with the Lord, when we have that effective, powerful prayer life, again, our love for him will grow and grow and grow. And we will have a heart's desire for our Lord. And our soul will thirst for our Lord. And our minds will be consumed with the Lord. And as Jesus said in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We get to know the Creator and the Redeemer more. And we do find out just how much they do love us and how much they are there for us. Through prayer, God purposes to establish and deepen our personal relationship with him. God has a purpose through our prayer life, and that is to deepen our personal relationship with him. And time's running out, but the second thing that we will gain through a more effective prayer life is experiencing an ever-deepening holiness and life-transforming discipleship. Developing or experiencing an ever-deepening holiness and life-transforming discipleship. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That word conversation speaks of your lifestyle. Not just the words you say, but your lifestyle, all manner of conversation. Because you know what? We are the children of a holy God. So you know what? The closer we get to God, things do change in our life. And they should change because it is a testimony that, you know what? We are the children of God. God is working in my life. God is doing the good work that he said he would do, and that is transforming us into the image of Christ. He predestinated every single believer to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That, again, that's the way Jesus thinks, the way Jesus speaks, the way Jesus reacts. Because when you go back and you look at Matthew, and you look at Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days after being baptized by John the Baptist, Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness for 40 days, 40 days of fasting. The Bible specifically says, and 40 days of being tempted by the devil. All right, so he's spending time out there praying, getting ready for that earthly ministry that he's about to start. And yet the devil's there tempting him, and we see only three accounts. All right, it's not just only three times the devil tempted him, but I believe it's three temptations that cover a lot of ground in someone's life. And again, I mean, as Jesus is tempted by the devil all three times, he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And Jesus is able, and I know some can argue, well, he's Jesus, he can defeat the devil. No, he's giving us an example. Because he spent time with the Heavenly Father in prayer, then he had the spiritual ability to resist the temptation from the devil and to say, it is written. Thus saith the Lord, it is written, thus saith the Lord, it is written, thus saith the Lord. And when we spend that time in prayer, the Holy Spirit will bring to our mind scripture when we're spending time with God. You know, when we're asking God for answer prayer or we're seeking God for something, because we've spent time in God's word, the Holy Spirit will bring to our mind the answer that we are seeking for, the answer we're asking for, the answer we're knocking for, all right? The Holy Spirit will help us in these areas, but it will help us to have a deeper holiness of life because, again, it's all about us becoming more like Christ. It's all about us having the mindset of Christ to be able to react to different situations like Jesus. Again, combining our prayer life with Bible reading, spending significant time in prayer and the Bible, you and I will experience discipleship in a way that is utterly miraculous. I mean, we will just see things that we've never seen before. And we have to stop right there because we only got 2 minutes left for the next service. But next week, again, just starting on this topic of having an effective, powerful prayer life. And that really should be the heart's desire of all of God's people. Because, again, it's our way to get closer to the Lord. It's our way of having our life affected by Christ. But it is deepening our love and our convictions. It's helping us to have even clarity of mind that, you know what, this life I'm living, I want to live it with the power of Christ upon it. I want to live it with even just the clarity to be able to hear God's voice. Just everything. We want to be able to get closer to the Lord. And my heart's desire is that you will learn some things that you haven't thought about through this. And at the end, that all of us, including myself, our prayer life will even be more effective and more powerful and drawing us even closer to Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for, Lord, just the gift of prayer, Lord, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to ask for help in time of need. And Father, that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Lord, being able to walk away knowing we spent time in the presence of our Heavenly Father, in the presence of the one who knows us and knows our life from beginning to end and knows the next step in our walk that you want us to take. And Father, thank you that through it all, we get to know you on a more intimate level. And Father, our heart's desire is to know you more and more. And thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Lord, I ask that you would bless this topic, bless this study that we go through it. And Father, may it obviously bring honor and glory to you as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. All